You know, my goal as a pastor is to preach God's word and hear his voice when it comes to knowing what to preach on a Sunday morning. I take this work very seriously, or in this work, it's a ministry, it's a gift. And I want to be able to represent God as best as I can and to be able to explain his word. And sometimes a sermon just does not come together. You think you have it all planned out, you worked at it, and God says, I'm going to give you an audible. I want you to change up the sermon this week. And that's what happened. About yesterday, Friday night, I was struggling. Yesterday, I thought, forget it. I'm just going to go with a whole different sermon. And we're still focusing on how to study the Bible. Now, my goal, this is the part of the new year. I know that we make New Year's resolutions, okay? And one of the most powerful New Year's resolutions that we all can make together as a church family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, is to study the Bible, is to get into the Bible. And I know some of us are fearful of getting into the Bible. Some of us feel like we don't have the gifts that are necessary. Sometimes we think that, you know, I got to have a certain degree. I got to be able to have some type of lesson in life, you know, from somebody else to study the Bible. And that's what you're getting right now. The call is to hear God's voice. The call is to get into God's word in a way that it fills you with joy, fills you with this beautiful understanding of who God is, and that's what God wants us to do. So I'm going to do something different here. I'm going to read you some quotes, and these are quotes from stories, and I want you to, some of you are going to immediately pick up the story, but as you hear these quotes, think about the setting, think about the scene, think about that person, and again, it's the idea of Bible study is getting into the story. So here's the first quote. I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. Christmas Carol. And that Christmas Carol, that story was powerful. If you ever hear the reasons behind, the reason why that story was given, it had to do with the fact that there was in that area at the time, there were people who owned these buildings, and these lords, these tenant lords, were terrible, and the author of the story wanted to show everyone there that this is not how you treat people, especially around Christmas. Here's another story. It's one of my favorite, and I'm not going to try to use the voices. It's like the great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really mattered, full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you don't want to know the end because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad has happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing, this shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come, and when the sun shines, it'll shine out the clearer. I know now folks in these stories have lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going because they were holding on to something, that there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo, and it's worth fighting for. That's one of my greatest quotes. It is one of the best places in Frodo. But again, that beautiful picture of really going to the end and doing what they needed to do. Again, those stories, I love them because it puts me right there listening to Frodo. Here's one for Harry Potter's. If there's one thing Voldemort cannot understand, it is love. He didn't realize that love is powerful as your mother's, for he leaves you its own mark, not a scar, no visible sign. To have been loved so deeply, even though the person who loved us is gone and will give us some protection forever, it is in your very own skin. Stories are powerful, and God intended us to, when we study the Bible, is to get into that story and see the Bible as a story. As I shared last week, we're in the process of knowing how to study the Bible, and that this is something that God wants us to have, the desire to study the Bible, the desire to hear God's word. And we heard last week the theme was this: God's voice tells us sweet words of life, and we need the Holy Spirit to hear. That's God's goal for us. That is God's reason why we're here and redeemed us. He wants us to hear him. He wants us to know him. It's a part of our life. It's a part of the purpose in our life. And when we hear God's word, when we hear God's word through reading God's word, through the preaching of God's word, through the singing of the God's word, through the prayer of God's word, God is speaking to us. God is affirming his love, his connection to us, and also he affirms our active role, that we are actively in God's story, and God has beautiful things for us. Now, here is the challenge. If you have no desire to hear God's voice, well, we got a problem in River City. We have a problem. If you are a person who has no desire to study or no desire to hear God's God's voice, there you have to sit back and ask the question, why am I here? That desire to hear God's voice is a part of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And if you don't have that desire, then you have to question, is the Holy Spirit in my life? Am I a Christian? Have I given my life to Christ? Because that is the reason why God redeemed us, is to hear his voice, to have a desire to hear his voice. You have a desire to eat every day. That is something natural. That is something a part of who you are. And if you sit there and say, I don't want to eat, I have no desire to eat, or I'm just going to eat sugar all the day, you're going to die. Without eating the bread of life, without having that desire, that process of eating his word every day, we are going to die spiritually. And that's a terrible death. That's an awful death. A feeling of alienation, a feeling there's no joy, there's no love, there's no purpose. You start pulling back. It is a terrible place to be. God pulls us in with his Holy Spirit, helping us to hear his voice, helping us to affirm, he affirms his place in our lives. So we need and we should have a desire to study God's word. So it's a challenge. So what we heard from 2 Timothy 3:16 is a powerful passage, 16 and 17. We learned all scripture is breathed out by God. Breathed out. It's just a beautiful picture of God pouring his spirit into his word, inspiring authors to write down his word. He breathes out. It is alive. It is something that allows us to hear God. And it's profitable. Okay? Profitable. It is important that we understand this. It's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. His word is for our profit. It is for our gain. It is for us to be built up. And it's a process of righteousness. Our whole life, we are in a process of becoming more right with God. Sanctification. And God continues to help us to grow stronger in our right relationship with God as well as others. That's what righteousness is. That I have a right relationship with our Father in heaven as well as I have a right relationship with other people. He's instructing us. He's helping us to have those very powerful, very valuable relationships to be right in our lives. So, when we look at Scripture, we need to understand when we read the Scripture, it's just not a like a owner's manual or it is a science book. What I mean by that, it's not just a book of technology. It's not a book that we just study because, well, it's an interesting thing to study. It is a grand story. And anytime we address the Scripture, anytime we go to God's Word, we need to look at it as a way that says, this is God's story. And we need to hear it that way. We need to read it that way. And as we read those stories in Scripture, we find ourselves being in the midst of those stories, and then we are understanding God's word and God's instruction to us. It's just a book of stories. It is a story of creation, the garden experience. Really important to find ourselves getting really connected with that garden. It's one of the most powerful places to study because it really helps us to understand what God did and how God wanted life to be lived. As we read that story, as we find ourselves just getting into that story and finding ourselves at that garden experience, finding ourselves God in which God is creating those animals and Adam and Eve and husband and wife, we are realizing his grand story for us. And then we see the curse, that terrible thing that happened to all of us. We all are in that terrible experience of living out those curses in our lives. It is real. But God is a God of redemption. God provides us with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to get us to pull away from those curses and to live the life that God intended us to live. It's a story of the Noah and the flood. It's a story of the Tower of Babel. It's a story of Abraham and Sarah. As we learn that story, as we read that story, God is revealing to us His Word. He shows us the story and how important that story is to us and for us. It's a story of Hagar and Ishmael, Abraham and Isaac, Joseph, Sodom and Gomorrah. Powerful story there. We can't overlook that story. There is something there that God wants us to hear, understand, and hear His voice in that story. The story of Joseph and Ruth and Moses and David. Jesus, the pre-birth. Jesus as the one who is being prophesied, which is really important to understand. Those prophecies are so important because Jesus fulfilled those prophecies. You heard this time and time again. Those are the stories. Pre-birth, the babe, the journey of Christ, the Passion Week. We're going to be going into this Lent season, and we're going to be focusing again on that Passion Week, one of the most powerful weeks in this world's history, the Passion Week. Man, those stories in those Passion Weeks are powerful, and God wants to put us right in the middle of that Passion Week, right there in Jerusalem, walking those streets, listening to those voices, watching the as Jesus comes into the Jerusalem. He wants us there. As we put ourselves into that story, we hear God's voice. We see ourselves being a part of the Passion Week. That Passion Week just didn't happen 2,000 years ago. That Passion Week is happening here now, and we're part of that story. The acts of the Holy Spirit, Paul's journey, John and Revelation. Wow. God wants us to be in that story. As we read, we're in that story. When we read, we are able to hear all the things that are there. We're able to see things that we never see before. So this basically the theme this morning is, and it's going to be a quick sermon, put yourself into the story. That's one of the most powerful ways of studying the Bible. Put ourselves in the story. Read the story. We know stories are powerful. All of us here has some type of story, some type of book, some type of movie that you love so much. And it's one of those go-tos. You know, you just said, I'm going to pick up this book. I've read it maybe 10, 15, 20 times. You pick it up, and you find yourself just lost in that story. Or a movie. There's reasons why those books and those movies and those stories are important, because it connects us. It tells something about us as we, again, are part of that story. The same way God wants us to be put in that story. And so I want to set up a story here. So one of the best ways to study the Bible is get yourself into that story. You will hear things differently. You will smell things differently. You will see things differently. So let's go ahead and look at the story. And I want you to right now have your imagination minds on and think about yourself being in the story, just so you can help and be able to understand what it means to be in the story. Here it is, Jonah. A great story. Jonah hated the Ninevites, despised the Ninevites. The Ninevites had destroyed most of his people. They were in war. They're terrible, terrible people. Now God says, I want you to go to the Ninevites, and I want you to preach a sermon of salvation. I'm going to redeem these people. And Jonah goes, no way. So now Jonah is on this journey, not to go to Nineveh, to go as far as possible away from Nineveh. He wanted nothing to do with this call in his life. He wanted nothing to do with trying to bring salvation message to the Ninevites. So what he decided, I'll go on a boat. I'll get on a ship and I'll just travel far, far away and get on that ship. Now he's on that ship. He's thinking he's able to escape God. Aha, he did it. I escape God. I don't have to follow this call in my life. So get yourself into that story. He's on the ship, and suddenly this ship takes on a storm, the biggest storm that these sailors has ever been before. Sailors are seasoned people. They've been in storms, but this storm was huge. It was over top. And in the midst of that storm, here these sailors are just going out of their mind, trying to stop the storm. They knew that they were going to die. Something different had to happen. And guess what Jonah was doing? Sleeping. Because he didn't care. He was getting away from God. Are you getting the picture? I mean, I'm not good at it, but I try to put myself in that position. Jonah, what's going on here? Okay, I'm watching you. You're sleeping? Good night. Don't you understand there's a storm? Don't you hear the voices of the sailors? They're going nuts. They're thinking that this whole ship is going to be destroyed. And so they're sitting there, and here is the story. And they said to one another, come, let us cast lots, that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said to him, tell us whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? And where did you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then he said to them, what shall we do to you? Then they said to him, what shall we do to you? That the sea may quiet down for us, for the sea grow more temptuous. He said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the man rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more temptuous against them. Therefore, they called out to the Lord, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's sake, and lay not on this innocent blood for you. O Lord, have done as it has pleased you. So they picked up Jonah, hurled him into the sea. They didn't want to do that. The sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. That story said itself. I mean, I love that story. Every time I read that story, I'm putting myself right there. That is a crazy, beautiful story. But there's always some beautiful lessons that God is teaching us. God, what are you telling me about the story? What are you telling me about me when I hear this story? So this is it. When you study the Bible, God promises he's going to reveal his word. We're going to be able to hear his voice. And when we study the Bible, put yourself in the story. Put yourself in this story. And again, you don't have to have a degree. You don't have to have some special training. You have the Holy Spirit. You have God's word. Now, teachers are important. That's what I am. Okay. But my goal is to encourage you to learn and learn yourself. And matter of fact, that's the very thing. Paul went to the Bereans, and Paul, who was a credible man, who had phenomenal Bible knowledge, the Bereans actually examined him, making sure that your teacher is following God's word. But you got to know God's word in order to hold, you know, someone accountable, as Paul said. We are part of a community to hold each other accountable. So this, I challenge you, is do you have a Bible? Okay, not just a Bible. Now I have, this thing cost me close to $1,000. That's what these cell phones are. I think I got a deal on it, $800. $800, and thankfully I paid off on it. $800 for this great phone, and we see it as a tool. We see it as something important, and definitely we find ourselves, you know, losing heart when we can't find this, because we think it's so valuable, right? So I want you to go out, and I want you to get yourself a Bible that's $100 and $120. You go, what? Yeah. Get yourself a Bible where you sit there and say, this thing is valuable. This is premium leather. I bought it for $120. I made sure that I got myself a real nice Bible. This is me. But this Bible is one of the most, here's that word again, precious thing that I've ever had. It is my word, God's word for me. And I have it filled with notes. I have it filled with things where I color and shade things up. This is a study Bible. And I would encourage you to get something very, very valuable, something that you can say, I could use this. This is my study Bible. It's valuable. It's something that I'd be afraid to lose because I like it so much. But again, this is just me. I encourage you, take your money, save your pennies, buy a nice, nice study Bible, and allow yourself to get into the stories that God has given us. That's how we learn God's voice, is through those stories. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you again for the story of Jonah. I just always love that story, God. Just the many ways that you reveal yourself in that story, allowing us to see your heart, to see your character, to see your love. Father, help us, God, to have a desire to hear your voice. Help us to have the confidence to get into the story and just hear your voice and put ourselves right there at the marketplaces, in the desert, all those places, and allow you just to, it helps us to hear you and to know you. And we pray this in your son's name. Amen.